The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jean Latshaw from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Ladies Magazine. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from various ladies' magazines. We'll begin with this one from Real Simple, Modern Manners Advice for Your Social Quandaries. FK asks, I have a friend I've known for over 20 years. We've been close off and on, depending on how busy our lives are. I was aware she and my sister-in-law knew each other, but recently they went on a trip together. All of a sudden, they're best friends, and I've been left out. They're both happily married and settled in large homes, and I'm a single mom trying to keep it together. I feel like I'm always forgotten just because my life situation is different from theirs. What should I do? And their answer, I'm sorry, nothing hurts quite like being excluded. Plus, it sounds as though these women have more resources than you and can make plans that might be a stretch for you, which also sucks. There isn't really anything to do about someone else's friendship except to honestly experience your sad, left-out feelings. What is in your control, though, is making an effort to connect. You can reach out to each of them with an invitation to spend time together individually, or you can see how it feels to get together as a trio. And you can focus energy on other friendships, the ones that make you feel loved exactly as you are. From Good Housekeeping, always cold, here's why. The weather is warm, but you're in a cardigan. Here are experts' takes on what may be going on and how to deal. As usual, no one else is cold, but for some reason, you need to turn up the thermostat or move away from the AC vent in a restaurant. Feeling frigid occasionally, or when it's actually cold out, is nothing to worry about, says Peter Bidley, D.O., Vice Chair for the Department of Family Medicine at the Philadelphia College of Osteopathic Medicine. And there are some simple explanations, such as being dehydrated or sleep-deprived, for your internal thermostats being out of whack. But if you can never really get warm or you have other symptoms, it may be worth getting yourself looked at. It could be, and here are some things it could be, a nutrient deficiency. Lack of iron, vitamin B12 or B9 or other nutrients can lead to anemia, says Stephanie Sassos, MSRDN, the Good Housekeeping Institute's registered dietitian nutritionist. When you have anemia, your body doesn't have enough healthy red blood cells to deliver oxygen to your organs. And that can make you feel cold, especially in your extremities. Women are at a higher risk, particularly those who are pregnant, but vegetarians and people over 65 are prone as well, says Sassos. Ask your doctor for a complete blood count panel, she suggests. They may recommend vitamin or mineral supplements or dietary changes. Or an undetected underactive thyroid. This tiny gland releases thyroid hormones that regulate metabolism, temperature, and other functions. When you have hypothyroidism, it doesn't produce enough of those hormones, which can make you sensitive to cold. It's like turning down the thermostat, and the body's metabolism kind of slows down, explains Gary Leroy, MD, past president of the American Academy of Family Physicians. If you also have dry skin, weight gain, hair loss, constipation, or fatigue, ask your doctor to check your thyroid. They may prescribe a medication to regulate your levels. Diabetes. Feeling cold and tired and having to pee a lot might be signs of diabetes. It can affect your kidneys, your circulatory system, and things along those lines, says Dr. Bidley. Kidney problems may attract anemia, and diabetes can cause nerve damage, giving you cold feet. Get your blood sugar tested regularly if you have risk factors such as being overweight or a family history. Heart disease. Peripheral artery disease causes plaque to build up in arteries, making you a little more prone to a decrease in blood flow to certain areas, Dr. Bidley says, which leaves you chilly and with numbness or tingling in your hands, feet, or legs. High cholesterol and other conditions that clog arteries can have the same effect. Beta blockers used to treat high blood pressure can also affect body temperature. If you also have muscle pain in your limbs, get checked out. You may be prescribed medication or asked to make lifestyle changes, such as exercising more. Next, you're very lean. Too little body fat, Dr. Bidley explains, means you're going to be more responsive to cold. While some people are naturally lean, health conditions such as eating disorders, digestive or metabolic problems, and severe stress and anxiety can cause weight and body fat loss. See a doctor if you are colder than usual and dropped weight recently. And last, you're getting older. When we get older, things slow down, and core body temperature tends to drop, says Dr. Leroy. It's a slow process, but aging also increases the risk of developing chronic conditions that can restrict blood flow and make you colder. Regular exercise can improve circulation of blood and slow many of the effects of aging, says Dr. Leroy. In the moment, moving, say dancing to a song you love, can warm you up. But if that and a mug of hot tea don't do the trick, it's time to nudge up the thermostat. From Real Simple, 5 minutes of prevention. Just as regular exercise keeps our bodies in shape, a stretching routine helps ensure that all those joints and ligaments in your feet stay in good working order. Try the following daily tune-up. ABC ankle rolls. Sit down, hold out your feet, and draw the letters of the alphabet with your big toe. Then repeat with the other foot. This activates the tendons in the ankle and the muscles in the leg that support the foot. Next, a toe wiggle. Move, stretch, and spread your toes to strengthen the muscles in your foot, which can stabilize your toes and slow the development of hammer toe. And a wall stretch. Put your palms against a wall. Place one foot back, heel to the floor, and lean in toward the wall to stretch the back of your leg from your calf through your heel. Repeat on the other side. This can help with tendonitis and plantar fasciitis. And some foot-saving supplies, over-the-counter products that can help provide some relief. Arch supports, such as bands and sleeves you wear under socks, can help with arch pain and plantar fasciitis. Try brands like Copperfit and Ace. Joint care products like topical diclofenac and glucosamine supplements can help relieve osteoarthritis pain. Check with your doctor for contraindications. Metatarsal pads can help with pain in the balls of the feet and make heels more comfortable. Check out Thule's, that's T-U-L-I, or Dr. Scholl's, S-C-H-O-L-L. And orthotics are supportive inserts formed to your feet that you place inside your shoes. Custom ones are ideal, but they can cost hundreds of dollars. Some insoles by PowerStep are APMA accepted. If you want to try over-the-counter orthotics, consult a doctor first. From Magnolia, a note from Joe. Waiting on fall. It may be no surprise that I love a good reveal. By mid-August, I'm ready for cooler winds and golden leaves. I'm ready to watch autumn sweep up summer's display and to see the wisdom in what fades. I'm drawn to this measure of life, from what was to what is now. Lessons learned, growth hard won, and turned pages. In some ways, I feel like I was made for this side of life, to create and build and help something prosper. It's the harvesting part I haven't always been great at, the savoring of what we've sown. But this season and this theme of fortitude has me approaching autumn differently. Rather than flipping the page and looking for the lesson learned, I'm sinking into the strength earned. How winter's foresight gives way to the promise of spring, and how the anticipation of spring bursts into the bright possibility of summer. Then the sacredness of summer gives way to a fuller fall. That rhythm is a welcome reminder of the bigger picture. The falling, then rising. The loss that leads to discovery. The sacrifice that pushes toward strength. The story of fall is one of strength sown steadily, and it's our story, too. Seasons of loss and hardship, times we considered ourselves weak. When we look back, it's natural to take note of how that moment changed our course, how the road we traveled either sent us down a new path or forced us to carve out one ourselves. Less often do we also look for the beauty that remained, the strength we earned in difficulty that is still holding us up today. Fortitude is not always a trait you can spot in a person. It doesn't show up in what we wear or how we carry ourselves. But when we're tested, then our strength shows. We forget it's there until the day we need it, until the day we find ourselves in the middle of hurt or adversity or stress, until the day someone or something has left us wondering how we'll make it to the next. In our 20 years of marriage, Chip and I have experienced a little bit of all of it. Losing a loved one, shifts in friendships, bills we couldn't pay, moments where our hearts were broken, times when all hope felt lost and circumstances were out of our control, when all I could think to do was lay face down on the floor in surrender. Soon, our oldest son Drake will be leaving home for college. In the grand scheme of heartbreaking things, this one comes with a lot of gratitude and excitement, but still, my first child is moving away, and our family dynamic will change because of it. And that can feel like a loss of its own. I catch glimpses now of what that life will look like and wonder if or how many times that might bring me to the floor. What we learn is that life is not about holding out only for the days of brightest possibility. It's not only about finding ourselves a crisp new page. Sometimes, in order to move forward, we have to surrender ourselves to the promise of growth that follows the fall. Easier said than done, yes. 1,000 times yes. It's usually in the middle of what we start to, of that we start to wonder if we'll ever have our ending. When summer is still holding on with all it has, and we wonder if maybe fall will never come. It's the moment before you feel the wind pick up, when relief comes in the smallest dose, just enough to let you know you haven't been forgotten. And when you push through, I'm curious whether you've ever looked back without thinking, I'm glad I didn't give up. Maybe you wish it never would have happened in the first place, but I doubt we ever regret being courageous. Because here we see ourselves in the great wheel of transformation. Seasons evolve, leaves change. We, too, are part of this great becoming. Whatever you might be carrying this year, this season, this very moment, remember, fortitude comes to us in the inches forward, not in one fell swoop or one big break. It is what we earn in the days we cling to what grounds us, in the minutes we are sweating out the last days of our own personal summers. I no longer think perspective is something we only get to see in hindsight. The experiences that we've already shown up for, we've already worked through, they are what we can turn to today and feel in our bones. We are stronger than we thought. This year, I'm waiting on fall the same way I always do. I'll watch the sky. I'll listen for rain. I'll pause at the trees with turning leaves. But I'll do it all a little more patiently, a little more gratefully, remembering that strength isn't earned in endings or beginnings, but in the space I'm forging along the way. From Woman's Day, an article called Against the Odds, and it showcases several people. I'll read you some of them. First, she's breaking records. Jackie Hunt Broersma. Jackie lost a leg to Ewing's sarcoma in 2002. 5.5 years ago, she took up running. When something's taken away from you, you're like, well, why can't I do it? I just wanted to be like everyone else and give running a try, she says. She admits some hesitation. I had so many factors to consider, like would my prosthetic last all the miles? Would my stump last? Would I do serious damage to my body? She says. But Jackie connected with the sport instantly, kept at it, and has surprised herself with what she's accomplished, such as being the first amputee to run 100 miles on a treadmill in less than 24 hours, and breaking a Guinness World Record world record by completing 104 marathons in 104 days. Running, Jackie says, has completely transformed her life. When I lost my leg, one of the biggest struggles was coming to grips with how my body looked now, she says. Running helped me accept my body for what it is. It gives me a sense of freedom that I can just go out for a run. Now I'm like, wow, this body is really strong. Even if part of it is missing, it can still achieve amazing things. And the next one, after an accident, she got active. This is Jillian Harpin of Wethersfield, Connecticut. While on vacation, Jillian fell 3 stories off a hotel balcony, which rendered her paralyzed from the chest down. During intense rehabilitation at Gaylord Specialty Healthcare, she was introduced to the Gaylord Sports Program for Adaptive Sports. She admired the people competing in the Gaylord Gauntlet, an intense 5K with obstacles like fire pits. My favorite physical therapist told me, "This is going to be you next year," and I just laughed. "I couldn't even put my pants on by myself," she says. 2 years later, she competed in that race. Despite never having considered herself sporty before the accident, she's now into surfing, adaptive rock climbing, whitewater rafting, and monoskiing. "Adaptive sports made me realize how much my body is still capable of," she says. "It helped me build confidence to try new things and completely embrace life in a way I'd never thought possible." Then the next one, her memories were lost, so she made new ones. Christine Hyung Oak Lee of Berkeley, California. A blood clot that moved from her heart to her brain caused Christine to have back-to-back strokes in 2006 and 2007 and left her with extreme memory loss and temporary visual impairment. During her second hospital stay, "I realized I was on page one of a novel I'd been reading for days," she says. The disruptive health events forced her to step away from her job and even everyday tasks like cooking. After an occupational therapist was unable to help, Christine took her own healing into her own hands. For the first 3 months, she lived entirely in the present. Then she attempted to regain her memory through journaling. "I wrote every day, even if it was nonsense on the page. Sometimes it took me hours to write a paragraph," she says. This eventually inspired her 2017 memoir, Tell Me Everything You Don't Remember. A procedure involving her heart and an Abbott PFO device dramatically improved Christine's physical health. That allowed her to exercise again, which helped her brain heal. She worked her way back to hiking, discovered yoga, and gave birth. "My stroke taught me that memories are created and can be lost. I'm focused on creating emotional memories, which we can't lose as easily, with my daughter," she says. "I hope she'll remember a childhood in the garden, where she picks berries and plants a fairy house." And the last one, she found an outlet for her grief. Nina Sweeney, Upper Arlington, Ohio. In 2010, Nita spent way more time on the couch or in bed than was healthy. Having struggled with chronic depression all her life, she was pushed to her limit when over a short time she lost 7 loved ones, including her mother and a niece. One day she saw a friend's social media post announcing her involvement in Couch to 5K, a follow-at-home running program. This inspired Nita to try it. It suggested starting with 60 seconds of jogging, she says, so she did. "Something clicked in my mind that I was capable of things I hadn't realized I was," she says. 6 months after her first running attempt, she ran a 5K. Then in 2012, she completed her first marathon at age 51. She's since run over 100 races, including an ultra marathon. Nita describes running as one of her main mental health tools and says it helped her achieve a lifelong dream, publishing a book, Depression Hates a Moving Target, How Running with My Dog Brought Me Back from the Brink. "I can't imagine not having some form of movement in my life," she says. "I've gone from a woman who wanted to die to one who wants to not only live but thrive." And now we move to the food portion of our show here. From Good Housekeeping, air fryer salmon flatbreads. They are ready in 15 minutes. In a small bowl, combine 1 tablespoon each red wine vinegar, olive oil and capers chopped, 1 scallion finely chopped, and 1/4 teaspoon pepper. Set aside. Heat air fryer to 400 degrees. In a bowl, toss 1 pint of grape tomatoes, 1 tablespoon oil, and 1/4 teaspoon each kosher salt and pepper. Season 1 pound of skinless salmon fillet, cut into 1.5 to 1.5-inch pieces with 1/4 teaspoon each salt and pepper. Place salmon in a single layer on one side of the air fryer and add tomatoes to the remaining space. Piling them up is great. Air fry the salmon until it's barely opaque throughout, 6 minutes. Transfer tomatoes to a bowl with vinegar scallion mix and toss to combine. Then toss with 1 tablespoon chopped flat leaf parsley. Spread labneh or Greek yogurt on 4 pieces of naan, that's N-A-A-N, or flatbread, which has been warmed. Top with salmon and 2 cups baby arugula or kale, then spoon tomato mixture on top. Sprinkle with sliced scallions and crumpled feta cheese, if desired. And this serves 4 and looks colorfully delicious. And another one, 5-ingredient dinner, creamy corn pasta. This looks tasty as well. Start here. Active time and total time are 20 minutes. First, corn. Bring a large pot of salted water to a boil. Add 6 ears fresh corn, which has been shucked, and cook 2 minutes, then transfer to a cutting board. Then, orecchiette pasta. Add 12 ounces orecchiette pasta to same pot and cook per package directions. Reserve 1 cup cooking water, then drain the pasta. Then Romano cheese. When corn is cool enough to handle, but while pasta is still cooking, cut off the kernels and you should have about 3 cups. Transfer 2 cups to a blender along with 1 ounce of Romano cheese, finely grated, 3/4 cup pasta cooking water, and 1/4 teaspoon salt. Puree until very smooth. Then scallions and basil. Toss pasta with corn puree, adding some reserved pasta water 1 tablespoon at a time if the pasta seems dry. Fold in reserved corn, 2 scallions chopped, and 1/2 cup basil. Serve sprinkled with additional cheese and basil as well as hot sauce if desired. And this serves 4. And it says if you have extra grilled corn, cut kernels off the cob and fold into your pasta to add a complex smoky flavor that just tastes like summer. From Woman's Day, pasta with vodka sauce. I like vodka sauces because it's a pink sauce. You don't have to choose between a white or a red sauce. Active time and total time, 15 minutes, and it serves 4 to 6. We need 1 pound rigatoni, 2 tablespoons olive oil, 3 large cloves garlic, finely chopped, 2 shallots, finely chopped, 1 6-ounce can of tomato paste, 1/4 cup vodka, 1 cup heavy cream, 1 pinch of red pepper flakes, kosher salt and pepper, 1/4 teaspoon finely grated Parmesan, plus more for serving, and basil for serving. Cook rigatoni per package directions. Heat oil, garlic, and shallots in Dutch oven on medium. Cook, stirring until tender, 4 minutes. Add tomato paste and cook, stirring until deep red and beginning to caramelize, about 5 minutes. Stir in vodka. Cook until nearly evaporated, about 2 minutes. Scoop 1/2 cup of pasta cooking water into a measuring cup, even if pasta is not done. Then add heavy cream. Add to Dutch oven, along with red pepper flakes, 1/2 teaspoon salt and 1/4 teaspoon pepper, and cook, stirring until smooth. Reserve 1 cup of pasta water, then transfer cooked pasta to Dutch oven. Add 1/2 cup reserved pasta water. Cook on low, stirring constantly until pasta is coated, adding more liquid as needed. Fold in 1/4 cup Parmesan cheese. Serve topped with additional Parmesan and basil. From Woman's Day, we've got a basic potato salad. 10 minutes is your active time. Total time, 35, and this serves 6. 2 pounds small new potatoes, about 25. Kosher salt. A basic vinaigrette or basic creamy dressing, and I've got recipes for both of those here afterwards. 1/2 cup fresh flat-leafed parsley, chopped. In a large saucepan, cover potatoes with cold water and bring to a boil. Add 2 teaspoons salt, Reduce heat and simmer until potatoes are just tender, 10 to 15 minutes. Drain and run under cold water to cool. While potatoes are cooking, you can make one of your two dressings. And I'll go into those now. The basic vinaigrette: in a large bowl, whisk together 3 tablespoons olive oil, 2 tablespoons red wine vinegar, 1 tablespoon Dijon mustard, and a half teaspoon each salt and pepper. Or the basic creamy dressing: in a large bowl, whisk together 3 tablespoons sour cream, 2 tablespoons mayonnaise, 1 tablespoon white wine vinegar, and a quarter teaspoon each salt and pepper. So then have your potatoes, or quarter them if they're large. Add to the dressing and gently toss to coat. Fold in parsley. Now, if you want to elevate these up a notch, I've got options. A Waldorf-style potato salad. Active time 20 minutes, total 35, and it serves 6. Prepare basic potato salad with their creamy dressing, whisking a tablespoon of whole grain mustard into the dressing. Toss potato salad with 1 cup small red grapes cut in half and 4 stalks celery thinly sliced. Fold in 1/2 cup of walnuts toasted and roughly chopped. Or the chimichurri potato salad version. Active time 20 minutes, total 35, and it serves 6. Prepare the basic potato salad with the basic vinaigrette option. Fold in 1 small red chili and 1 small clove of garlic, each finely chopped, along with 4 scallions and 4 strips of lemon zest, each thinly sliced. And from Good Housekeeping, Green Goddess Sandwiches. Active time and total time are both 15 minutes. In a small bowl, combine 1/3 of a cup of mayonnaise, 1/2 teaspoon lemon juice, 1/2 of a small clove of garlic, finely grated, and 1/4 teaspoon each, kosher salt and pepper. Fold in 1/4 cup of basil chopped and 2 tablespoons chopped chives. Spread basil mayo on 8 slices of whole grain bread. Then create sandwiches with 2 cups salad greens or your favorite lettuce, 1 avocado sliced, 1/2 seedless cucumber halved crosswise and thinly sliced lengthwise, 1 cup of sprouts, and 4 hard-boiled eggs sliced. And this serves 4. From Woman's Day, we missed Underwear Day on August 5th, but it's a reminder that quality intimates are an essential, not a luxury. Here are some options with comfy styles plus a little something extra. For period protection, THINKS, THINX. These moisture-wicking, odor-controlled undies are best at preventing period leaks and offer a variety of absorbency levels. For sustainability, PARADE. Each pair of this brand's underwear is made of 80% to 95% recycled materials, and PARADE's goal is to get to 100% by 2023. And we've run out of time for Ladies Magazine. Be sure and listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jean Latshaw for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is available as a podcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have comments or questions, give us a call, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening. Talk to you next time.